Why don't you restate what you were...
Well, the motion had been to approve the staff's recommendation of Manette's, I don't know the entire name of that law firm, the previous recommendation that was made months ago, and so we can move forward with representation in Washington instead of having over a year of no representation.
Okay. So the motion is to award to the previously top-rated firm, Manette Phelps.
Recommended, right.
I'm not sure who's dropped off.
I'll move for new procurement without this motion, but as the staff recommended.
Second.
Okay, so the Fasana motion, the Antonovitz motion dies for lack of a second. The Fasana motion is to move for a new procurement.
Period.
Period.
Period. To expeditiously, we have to put some timeline on that. Mr. Hamparian and Mr. Leahy.
Yeah, it's no former member, just a quick...
No one said anything. That's not raised at this point. Re-procurement in how much time? Because there is an urgency on this.
I would defer to
how quickly
to the
can we put the panel together, get the RFP out?
2 to 3 months.
Okay.
2 to 3 months. 2 to 3 months. And we will report back next month on our status.
And this, the 2 to 3 month time period would not fatally hamstring us in Washington. No. We do have another panel. We've got a panel out there. We'll just put the heat on them, turn up the heat to make sure that they're covering, that they're working extra hard to advance our interests.
Correct. I would say that I think it's beneficial to us. The sooner we have a team on board, the better shape we'll be. I think the CEO has rightly pointed out that the authorization bill is stalled. That is, for lack of a better word, a bit of a saving grace for us right now. We're in a decent position for that. But I think I would just ask, you know, our procurement folks to work with dispatch to make sure the procurement proceeds.
Yeah, there's a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Director Katz, you're okay? So we have a motion and a second. Do we have all seven directors unconflicted present? Any other discussion on that? Reprocuring, ASAP? If there's no objections,
Jack.
Okay. Noting Director Antonovich's objection, with the rest supporting, is that sufficient to pass the item? No, it's not.
Why would there be conflicts on this if it's a motion to re-procure and go out to the public and rebid? Where is the conflict?
The conflict would only apply for purposes of discussion of the reinstatement of the prior procurement, because that's where the conflict is.
Right.
Moving forward, there is no conflict.
So there are no conflicts, so everybody's eligible to vote.
Forward.
Point well taken. We're not identifying a specific firm, just a general re-procurement.
Correct.
Does that conflict anyone on just a general re-procurement question? We're clear.
Because there are no proposers yet.
No proposers yet. Okay.
Good.
Let's Director Fasana, do you wish to be recognized again?
No, I don't.
Okay. So there's the motion. The second, please note the correct absence of conflicts. And
I'm going to abstain on this because I do disagree. Because for us to, and it's a minute point, but I think technically speaking, if we're voting to move forward with a whole new procurement, it has some impact or influence on who was selected previously where we have an impact, where we have a conflict. So I'll disagree with the advice, but I'm going to abstain because I disagree.
Okay, let's use the voting machine on this to keep it clear as to who's here and who's voting yes, no, or abstaining. Okay, is the machine cleared? Okay. We need everyone to vote. This is reprocurement ASAP. Can I be Du Bois and Thomas? No conflicts.
Oh.
Ridley Thomas, would you like to?
That's fine. I'm unclear about the legal opinion on those matters. Do you know if can or cannot?
Yes, thank you. Can.
Ultimately, I think it rests with you.
There are no proposals at this time.
I don't think an opinion from our general counsel would clear you should there be any. It would be evidence of your intent, but the ultimate decision-making is up to the individual elected official. Okay, let's open the envelope. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, so that passes, correct, Mr. Safer?
Correct.
Okay, so we'll be doing the re-procurement. Thank you, Mr. Amparian.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leahy.
Thank you.
Let's move to the next item, which is item 73. It's going to be item 73. I probably have some speaker cards on that as well. Okay. Are you going to be leaving shortly?
In case you hadn't noticed, I'm already gone.
I don't know.
That's all. No abstention, man. You are gone.
Okay, we'll do the, we'll do 17 right after this. Thank you. Do we have a report on this?
We do.
Okay, and obviously,
I'll be very yes. brief because you've heard a lot of this before. But just as a reminder, this is actually a study. It is money that would go into these projects anyway to determine.
Director Kanabe.
Can we like lower the roar up here if you have a conversation? Could you take it out back or something so we can hear the presentation?
Thanks. Yeah, and this is not project construction funding per se, of course. It is funding that would, however, be part of the cost estimate for each, and it wouldn't increase the budget. It really is meant to develop the comprehensive business case and strategies and all the assessments, including the environmental, to determine the cheapest way to go forward if the decision is later made to go forward on a project, which streamlines our procurement and allocates the risks. The idea, of course, is to do a value for money comparator to determine if there is a faster, cheaper, more economical way to deliver projects quickly, taking advantage of the fact that right now 20% to 25% savings that we're seeing in current bids and reducing overall construction costs, which of course saves money and creates jobs, which I think is important, also gives us access to additional sources of capital, including things like the National Infrastructure Bank, pension and other funds, many of whom have talked to us already, as well as domestic and foreign funding entities. The scope does not fund, as I said, the project construction. It appraises optimum methodology and, of course, no construction without significant public outreach to address the concerns of all communities. With that, I believe that hopefully we can move forward with the program in order to get the optimum benefits of this type of program that we have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have quite a few cards. I'm going to give the elected officials priority and go through them. Ann Wilson, followed by Tom King, Leyland Dolly, Harry Baldwin, Lynn Harris, and Arturo from Senator Gil Cedillo's office. Ms. Wilson.
Good morning. I did previously speak and I did consolidate my comments, but I will take the opportunity to reiterate the fact that the City of La Cañada Flint Ridge, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Mayor and City Council members, request that the directors vote in opposition to this item. And it has to do with the fact that there are expenditures being made in advance of the CEQA review. And again, we ask that the Board of Directors, in its action today, only with respect to the 710 Tunnel Project, vote against the recommended approval of Task Orders 3A and 4A, and vote against amending the Metro 210 budget for these items. It is our sincere hope that the Metro Board, at the very least, understand its legal limitations and obligations prior to taking any action on this matter. Thank you.
Tom King. Leyland Dolly. I'm not sure if you were all together, but your cards were clipped, but let's use that order.
Perhaps to save time, there may be some I want to step behind me, just identify themselves.
That would be fine.
Could I get 2 minutes to save you time and them time?
2 minutes for the whole group?
Yeah.
Take that.
Okay. Good morning, members of the board. I'm here with a cross-section of support to ask approval of the agenda item that studies public-private partnerships for Measure R projects. Approval recognizes your role in upholding the public trust inherent in the voter mandate from November 2008. you've heard a lot of rhetoric about one of the public-private partnership projects, the 710 tunnel. The tunnel simply closes the gap between Pasadena and Alhambra and is a unique solution whose time has come. I submit to you there's a long-standing and widespread support for this gap closure. First, there's the fact that the passage of Measure R. Second, there have been regular polls taken throughout the affected areas, including Glendale, that demonstrate widespread support, particularly among commuters. Finally, as president of the COG and a member of the ACES Authority and someone who supports the Goal Line, we have a resolution of 32 of the 34 cities in the San Gabriel Valley supporting the 710 gap closure. That's 25% of the working people, union members, and commuters of Los Angeles County. You'll hear that the question is asked, is a tunnel feasible? Clearly it's feasible, but what we need to do right now is determine whether the agenda today will request it.
I gave the gentleman 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll try again. You will hear the question asked, is a tunnel feasible to close the 710 gap? It is without question technically feasible, as Caltrans just finished studying this. Completion of the public-private partnership P3 agenda item will simply ask the questioner whether or not it's financially feasible. All the other questions about the environment will be addressed through the EIR project, which we hope to see underway in a very short period of time. Rather than take up a lot more of your time, we've provided a fact sheet, certified poll results, and other materials for entry into the record to support the public-private partnership, and we respectfully request your approval. Also, Mr. Chairman, I have with the packet, I have letters from the Senator Cedillo, Senator Huff, and Assemblyman Ng of the San Gabriel Valley Legislative Caucus supporting this item. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. Can I give this to the clerk?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. King, Mr. Dolly, Mr. Baldwin. Can I include Lynn Harris in that? Yes, refer my time. Arturo Chavez is separate from that group of you included. As from Senator Gil Cedillo's office?
He's saying that.
He was in that group? Okay. Joseph Gonzalez, City of South El Monte.
Chair Najarian, Metro Board. I just am here also to concur with our COG representative. As a member of San Gabriel Valley COG, we are in favor of moving traffic, and if this is a solution to it, we appreciate that you consider this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Stephen Lee. Stephen Lee, City Council of the City of Roseville.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, thank you very much for taking up this item. As a representative from the City of Rosemead, San Gabriel Valley City, this is a very vital issue for us. One of the reasons why 32 out of 34 San Gabriel Valley City support it is because the 710 extension will help alleviate a lot of the traffic and congestion that is within our area. And also, as a former employee in Long Beach, where I used to work for the Chamber of Commerce down there, I also know that the importance of the 710 freeway to the two ports that move our goods for the whole nation. So I urge you to quickly adopt this motion. Thank you very much. Have a day.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, but the previous speaker was Mr. Joseph Gonzalez. Yes, that was Mr. Gonzalez. Okay, now to the general public. Carol Kramer, Nancy Campo, William Sherman, Marie Salas.
Please vote against funding the PPP 710 extension study. According to SCAG, the ports are planning to quadruple in size, and there will be an additional 92,000 daily truck trips to and from the ports of L.A. and Long Beach. They will flood the planned $15 per trip toll tunnel and the rest of the freeways in the L.A. Basin with the traffic, bringing many of our freeways to an F-grade level of congestion. Freeways have been linked to negative health effects, cancer, heart, lung issues. This affects all of us, especially children and pregnant women. Who is going to be medically liable for the 710 cargo freeway? Will the private investors be liable? How is that liability going to be managed? Instead of expanding the lower 710 to 14 lanes with four dedicated truck lanes, why not run grade-separated electric rail lines in those lanes planned for trucks? Those rail lines could then meet up with the planned inland port. This would remove the need for a tunnel because it would take the trucks and their pollution off of the whole L.A. Basin freeway system, saving the truckers, shippers, commuters, money, and time wasted in traffic. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy Campo. Followed by William Sherman, Marie Salas, Sharon Rossler.
Hello, Mr. Chairman and board members. I'm glad to see so many of you here. I also asked that you separate the 710 project, which is an unworthy project, a contentious project, from the other projects that are on this measure. Just take off the 710. I'm here to tell you, I don't want to be confused with theatrical tricks. These are all of the people so far who are against it. So I don't know who this person's people are that are for it. The more that the public knows about it, the more signatures we gather and we continue to gather. And I want to tell the board that, you know, you are elected officials and we are watching what you are doing on this project. We are not about to go away. It will, and we want you to separate it out. Thank you.
Marie Salas, since you're up, followed by William Sherman.
I concur with my partner right here, and I want to say that the community of El Sereno is against the 710, and how dare Gloria Molina not support us after all these years of supporting her. And anybody in the city of Los Angeles who does not support the city of Los Angeles is going to hear the vibration of our community. For our mayor, Antonio Viragosa, he knows how influential I was in his elections on both councilman and mayor, Jose Huizar, and also Gloria Molina. And if I put you in office, I can get you out as well. Thank you.
Yes, Director.
I don't know who this woman is. I represent a very large community. Most of them live along the 710.
You are supporting the study of the 710 freeway.
Salas.
I represent a very large community, many who live along the 710. The cases of asthma and problems that we have had, those trucks backing up for decades of ill will, nervous, scaredy cat, political politicians that don't make the right decision, this by far is the best studied, so it'll deal with the environmental issues. Now, a better answer is get the trucks off. That's why we supported the Alameda Corridor. But don't you dare ever threaten
me. Don't threaten me. Do not threaten
me. Ms. Salas, please, no
back and forth. Do not threaten me.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Salas. William Sherman, followed by Sharon Rossler.
That's a tough act to follow. Dr. Bill Sherman, South Pasadena. I oppose public-private partnership for funding of the SR 710 extension. This is a means of delaying public payment for an unneeded project which is just too expensive to even consider. A public-private partnership passes the cost onto the public and increase shipping costs which increase prices of goods to the end user and in tolls to the individual users. The only people who profit from a public-private partnership are the financiers. It increases the cost to the public and it is a means to hide the true cost to the public. I say just say no to PPP.
Thank you. Sharon Rossler, Elisa Almeida. Sharon Rossler, Elisa Almeida, Dr. Clyde Williams.
Mr. Wagner has to leave. Perhaps you can let him speak.
I'm sorry?
Mr. Wagner has to leave.
Mr. Wagner, request for priority. I will. Ma'am, please go ahead. I will.
It's on the 70?
Yes, this is item 73.
Okay. Elisa
Your name,
Almeida.
Please.
Elisa Almeida.
Almeida, thank you.
I am a resident of El Sereno. I oppose any specific assessment for 710 North Extension. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Clyde Williams.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. PPP, we used to discuss it as the private plundering the public. Why is it a PPP? It's a PPP because you need eminent domain. You need bond issues, especially muni bonds. So that's one of the bases of PPPs, where to get the money. So I would oppose the 710 North Extension Tunnel for this PPP. Others are equally or more beneficial to the development of design build, PPP, BOTs, and all the other acronyms that go along with them. I've done them. Okay, 710. The easiest way is to put 710 extension on the long, long list. That is one of the 81. Maybe the 81st position would be best for it, because this one is going to be fought and fought and fought. We've been at it for 40 years. We'll be at it for another 20 years. So put it back to, say, 2035. Thank you.
I overlooked the presence of Mike Ten, mayor or council member from the city of South Pass, with Dennis.
Good evening, Mr. Chair. Good evening, board members. Dennis Woods, City Manager's Office for the City of South Pasadena. I'm going to read to you into the record a quick letter that should be in front of you from our mayor regarding the PPP. The City of South Pasadena opposes the inclusion of the 710 tunnel in the public-private partnership agreement being considered by you this evening, this afternoon. The City of South Pasadena sued Metro over including Measure R, $780 million for the 710 tunnel project before CEQA mandated environmental review was completed, and certainly before the feasibility study was even completed. During the legal proceedings, Metro insisted that the 710 was not a project for the purpose of the CEQA, and the Superior Court judge agreed. Additionally, Metro asserted that it was not committed to the project during that hearing. How can Metro include a 710 extension in the PPP and still contend it is not a project requiring environmental review? We urge you to avoid further committing the tunnel project prior to considering the alternatives, including transit-oriented, low-build, multimodal alternatives. Further, we urge you to avoid taking the position that is entirely inconsistent with Metro's litigation position and contrary to Sound CEQA. Thank you.
Much. Joyce Chang, Sherry Stubbs, and then Grace Chang. And then Erica Wilson.
Hi, Dr. Joyce Chang. Funding for the 710 freeway extension is short-sighted for the city of Los Angeles. We must focus on goods transport by rail to compete with the global economy. I am asking the board to please vote no on this item. Thank you.
Mary Stubbs by Grace Chang.
My name is Sherry Stubbs. Contrary to what a gentleman said, Glendale is on record opposing the project. Millions of dollars have been allocated for studies in this project, each one of which has been flawed or is insufficient. Now more millions are to be spent for yet further studies. This will go on ad infinitum, dumping more money into a blank hole, a money pit, with more contracts and increasing current contracts, such as the agenda item 45. Even though it is an existing contract, it is still an increase. Public-private partnership is smoke and mirrors. The public always pays. It is just a matter of time. Building more freeways and or tunnels is merely a band-aid solution that does not address the real problem. The basic premise is wrong. We need to address the root of the problem in order to solve it and achieve a worthwhile, long-lasting solution. You can build freeways and tunnels till the cows come home and there will continue to be gridlock. By the time this project is completed, it will already be outdated. It has even been noted that the preposterous tunnel should be built. It would receive an F grade the day it opens.
Thank you. Grace Chang.
Again, basically, behind the jargon of this document, the 710 is being funded by Measure R. Measure R is a tax upon the citizens of of Los Angeles. And then, according to this pamphlet, it says, Measure R funds are not eligible for bus and rail operating or cash expenditures. Basically, what you're saying is that you're taxing the citizens of LA, and you're mandating that this money only be used for the 710 expansion, and that this money cannot be used for what the city actually needs, which is green, environmentally responsible public transportation. As Obama stated, the future is green. LA is already a concrete urban jungle whose citizens spend an hour and a half on freeways to travel 10 miles to work. Finally, I find it abhorrent that the MTA tried to fast-track the 710 expansion without any public notice in the last meeting. That is just the epitome of what is wrong with this government.
Wilson. Bob Wagoner.
Sylvia.
Yes, am I up? Bob Wagner, I'm here to represent the 24,000 construction workers, heavy equipment operators for the International Union of Operating Engineers, and I support in support of the study. We are at 20% unemployment, and part of the reason the city is broke is because we have too many people that are on unemployment and not paying taxes. Number one. Number two, we have congestion that is gridlocking everybody getting to work. And number three, if these doctors want to get rid of all this pollution in the air, complete the tunnel, and because those trucks are going to be on the free, on the surface streets, whether this tunnel is completed or not. So if they want to clean up the air, complete the tunnel.
Turn your mic on. I'm hearing a lot of different opinions and confusion about pollution and what the tunnel really does. Let it be known that it is a tunnel for cargo. It will not reduce traffic congestion in Alhambra or anywhere else. It will cause pollution within the tunnel. And where does that go? It goes out into the air in the northeast area. Please separate this item out of the PP proposal because, as someone else said, we will continue fighting it. Thank you.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Were you Sylvia, Sharon, or Ann?
Sharon Lilly. Sharon Rossler is down here, and she didn't get a chance to speak.
Nito Robles, Nat Reed. Okay. Mr. Reed, why don't you come on up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the board, I'm Nat Reed, Chair of the 710 Freeway Coalition. You've heard a lot of strident voices today about the 710. Be aware that there is no project in the MTA, no project that has more public support documented, widespread in over 30 polls. No other project has that. There is no municipality, no political subset where the majority is against the 710. And that includes La Cañada, Glendale, South Pasadena, and El Sereno. Your constituents support completion of the 710, 5-1 in Los Angeles, 6-1 in the San Gabriel Valley. Please support item 73.
Robles, Richard Quevedo, Ann Walnum, Sylvia Raddick. If you hear your name, please take the microphone. Paula Ciroli, Glenn Duncan, Arnold Sachs, John Walsh. Okay. Mr. Sachs and Mr. Walsh and Mr. Duncan is here. Okay.
I'm Glenn Duncan. I support the South Pasadena position for all of the reasons that they stated. Additionally, despite the effort to convince the public that this will relieve traffic in the San Gabriel Valley, it has never been demonstrated that it will or that it will reduce traffic times. Secondly, the total cost of this, estimated by SCAG at $11.8 billion, is way too much money to spend, whether the money comes from a PPP Eventually, the money all comes from the public. They pay for it in tolls. People need to realize how much it's going to cost. This project is not ready to go. It's too costly. It should be removed from this PPP analysis.
Thank you. Arnold Sachs, then John Walsh.
Thank you. Arnold Sachs. I believe public-private partnership candidates is an opportunity to save money for MTA. And except for the 710, and one of the speakers who spoke said that it would be graded F upon its opening. The key word there is upon its opening. This is the MTA. Projects go forever. But my suggestion is to increase the board membership by two non-voting members. You could have Ed Roskey and Tim Nowicki sit on the board. Saving the MTA funding, you could have the Roskey Ruse, which allows projects to be built without going through EIR. And you could have the Nowicki Lunge, which allows projects to be built without having the adequate permits. Both have been proven to happen. Well, one was proven to happen in the city of L.A., and one was proven to happen for the stadium that wants to be, that Roskey wants to build on the 60 and the, what is it? The 710 freeway, 60 out in East L.A. So you put them on there, and you're saving costs.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh.
Yeah, I'm one of the strident voices against the tunnel. I wonder where Mr. Reed lives. $12 billion at this stage of a development is a rule of thumb. It's going to cost twice as much, $24 billion. What's here is a joint development. We're giving $12 million of Prop R money that was supposed to go for projects to a consultant. And if you want to see a mess when it comes to joint development, today, Mr. Mayor, and I'm surprised you're not over there for the opening of the W Hotel, two-thirds of the condos unsold, all of the retail on the street level vacant on Hollywood Boulevard. It's a ghost town. They sat here and told us it would be a big hit. And I'm telling you, the only reason for the subway is to bring minorities to work in crummy non-union jobs at places like the W Hotel. You better get out there. There's a camera, Antonio.
Thank you. Did anyone submit a card whose name I did not call? Yes, ma'am. Come forward. But I think all the others I've called and...
Joanne Knuckles, representing Communities Against the 710 Freeway. First, I'd like to read from the minutes of a TAC minutes and comments by Linda Sanchez about the P3. The most significant component of the P3 program is sharing risk with the private sector, having them assume risk by managing such things as project design, construction, or operations, while the public agency, which is you, must define the project and gain public support. With this project, the public support will never happen. And it has never happened in the 60-year history of this project. For example, the last public hearing in Pasadena before the CTC 16 years ago, the results of the comments were the written responses, it was 2-1 opposed out of 1,400, oral responses, 5-1 opposed out of 204, and on the recorder, it was 4-1 opposed out of 93. There's an injunction in place, and it's the real people speaking out against it, not one of Nat Reed's crazy polls.
No, let's be civil. I have no other cards from the public for comment. I believe Mr. Moliere has concluded his remarks. I'll open this up for discussion to the board.
Recommendation.
Second.
There's a motion. Second. Any further discussion? Director Huizar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I
wanted to raise the issue of the 710 North study. And my staff are in the process of speaking with the community with respect to several of the results from a boring study that was commissioned by Caltrans. I understand that these studies, these community meetings are not finished. They're still going out discussing them. which concerns me about whether we should move forward with the possibility of doing a study for a public-private partnership on the 710 North Tunnel when, in fact, we haven't completed our outreach to the local communities. In fact, what we have right now before Caltrans are the possibility of five different routes to complete that gap. And some of those routes extend, you know, they go from the portal at 710 to Silver Lake, Echo Park, Mount Washington, and some of them just have a straight line towards the 210. We don't know what tunnel we're looking at this point, so I'm not even quite sure why we would move forward right now giving this money for somebody to study a route when we don't know what that route is at all.
Thank you, Director Fasano.
It's not to say that, I mean, we need some relief in that area. Whatever it is, we do need relief. But I think it's very important, just given how contentious this issue has been in the past, that we go about it in a process where we do have community input and transparency in how we're going about it. And I think this is putting the cart before the horse. So I'm uncomfortable with moving forward in the 710 North. Thank you.
Director Fasano.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have before us an operations deficit, I think, of $250 million next year. We have tremendous resources with Major R, but I think we also need to recognize there is a balance in this county. Certainly, there are many of us that support rail. We support transit-oriented development. We also know that we haven't fixed the funding model on that yet, and for many in the audience are concerned about that. We certainly are taking donations to help us with our $250 million deficit there to help provide additional sustainable rail. We have still more than 90% of the trips and a good part of our goods movement taking place through the highways. We think that public-private partnerships do offer some real support there and some real hope in terms of expanding our capacity to meet the need to bring goods in this region, to move people. Projects like the High Desert Corridor, the 710 South and the 710 North, we think are vital to that effort. So we are strongly in support of moving the entire package forward. There are going to be many refinements. I mean, the Red Line Subway, Crenshaw, 710 South, 710 North, there are going to be a lot of implementation issues that will need to be discussed and refined. But we think we have a very viable package here. There's been demonstrated interest by the investment community. And given the finances that we have today, I support moving forward with this package. And again, if we can get some contributions from those who would like to help us with our operations deficit from people here today, I'm open to that.
Thank you. Any other comments? I just have a few comments. I'm clearly on record. There's no surprise that I am against the 710 tunnel. I feel that it's an Eisenhower-era transportation concept that's being misapplied to the 21st century. I would love to take those $780 million and give it to the Gold Line and other transit lines throughout the county. I think that's really the direction we should be going. However, that being said, this motion is a package of six projects. Some of them I find very worthy, such as the High Desert Corridor, the Metro Red Line, West Side Subway Extension. And I don't want to give the wrong opinion to anyone, the wrong impression to anyone who may be looking at the board's actions and to see whether the concept of the public-private partnership is supported or embraced. I do embrace the public-private partnership concept. I do not embrace it for anything to do with the 710 tunnel. As a result, I'm going to have to abstain from this vote unless the 710 tunnel should be parceled out or bifurcated, in which case I would support the other items but vote no on the 710 tunnel. Unless there's a motion bifurcating the 710 from this list and having a separate vote, I will have to abstain because, as I said, several of the other projects I find worthy. Any other discussion? Director Huizar.
Okay.
Your mic, please, Director.
Staff, if this moves forward, what which of the five different zones that are proposed by Caltrans will be studied as a route for this public-private partnership for the 710 North Tunnel?
Well, that's really a project decision. My understanding is that only one or two of the sites are really viable. I do believe, for example, one and two would be out clearly, but I think that's a question that the folks such as Doug Failing, who is here, could address better because they're more familiar with the operational and technical details.
So Caltrans is out there right now telling the community that there were five zones they studied. Two of them are viable, but no decision has been made.
Yes, I think ultimately the decision is made by this board, among others, as to which route, whether to proceed, whether not to proceed, and only after a long process of doing the environmental work, the engineering work, such as you spoke of earlier, that's well into the future, and after significant public outreach as well.
Mr. Wiesauer directed a question. Doug Failing, Executive Director of the Highway Program, LA Metro. They would not be studying a specific route for any of these alternatives at this point in time. They're looking at the concept of a public-private partnership, and someplace within these zones can they come up with something that would meet certain feasibility criteria. So they wouldn't necessarily be looking at zone 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 independently. They're going to address the concept in general.
The concept in general.
Public-private partnership within the framework that they can generate in this corridor.
And it costs us $2 million to do that.
There are $2 million costs. Yeah, it's more than just that. There's some traffic studies that have to be done, so there's a series of work that gets into that.
That's what I mean. They have to study some route, and there's five of them on the table right now. The concept. So the concept in what area do you look at to see if it's feasible? You have to look at something.
They would have to look at some traffic studies that cross the entire zone. So there is some look at the zones because you have to see what type of traffic numbers might be generated out of those zones. So there is some look at zones, I guess. But as far as a specific route or selecting a zone to be the selected zone, that's not the intention of this study at all.
Okay. And why should we be moving forward with this now when Caltrans is still out there in the community talking about the results of the boring analysis and the fact that no one has made a decision about which route to take?
The concept, this project is relatively the same situation as a number of other projects. In many of the projects, they haven't even begun as preliminary work as you see Caltrans doing today on the 710 corridor. They're starting much further back than that point in view. The issue of public-private partnership has come up. There's certainly a lot of discussion on it, and it's an appropriate time to begin putting that concept forward across a number of our projects.
Thank you. Well, I'm in the same shoes as our chair here. I do believe that there are some other projects here that may be worthy or more defined, more specific to a more central area. But in terms of what the engagement that I'm in with my community is that we're talking about a wide area that has been studied or is being proposed to be studied by Caltrans. We actually submitted a motion to the Los Angeles City Council that asked that some of those zones be taken out of consideration. And that if a tunnel should go through, that the community of El Sereno is protected by having the portals begin at certain areas that will protect residential communities. But nonetheless, I still believe that this is doing it before. It's a bit premature. And I would, I don't want to give the impression that I don't support the other projects either. So I'm either going to vote an abstention with you or a no with you, Mr. Chair, but I think this is way too premature. Thank you.
Director Du Bois.
I'm hearing you're concerned about SR 710. However, there are five other projects that are waiting to be for the public-private partnership, and we're putting them on the shelf while we debate and debate and debate about SR 710. The I-710 corridor is currently in EIR EIS development. That's not your state route 710. That's set to the south of there. The project committee will hear from NTA's 3P consultant at the meeting tonight on how the 3P process integrates into the planning and design activities currently underway. Given the timing and private interest in this project, it's imperative that the 3P activities authorized in this report move forward for the I-710 project at this time, and I suspect for some of the other projects. There are six 3P candidate projects contained within the next phase of work. They shouldn't be held back by the issues and controversy surrounding the imitation of public-private partnership consultant study activities for the SR 710 tunnel. I encourage the members of the board to move forward with the project as with recommendation and the motion made by the Director Knobby.
If I could encourage Director Du Bois to abstain from the motion or vote no, then we wouldn't have enough to pass it. Then we can bifurcate all the good projects and deal with this nasty 710.
I won't pass either.
You've counted? Is that what you're telling me?
No, but, well, as chair, I do have a responsibility to see who's in attendance and the level of sneers that I'm getting from my colleagues. Okay, any other discussion on this item? The screens went dead. Can we...
Yes, vote.
A motion to bifurcate would take seven votes, and the level of looks I'm getting, I don't think we're there.
Let's put it up or down.
That's where we're going. It's item 73, as presented in the board packet, and as moved by, I forget who moved it.
I did.
Seconded
it. Yeah.
Conflict check for Director Yevzlovsky.
People conflicted on the.
If a board member doesn't want to vote because they feel in their discretion to stop conflict. Friday, that's up to their personal discretion according to their conscience. But that doesn't mean there's a legal conflict.
And your opinion is advisory only. I mean, it's not binding. If we go before the FPPC, we... And so we all have to make up our own minds at the end of the day.
But that's our best advice, but I'm not the prosecuting authority that can bind the...
Director Katz.
The FPPC won't even allow you to follow their advice and claim that was... You know what I mean? So, you know, it's...
Subcontractor.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. I mean, I've got.
The gentleman
with that
director was not even a
principal
or a partner or had any authority in the firm.
Okay, I hear you.
Okay, so will each director decide his or her own conflict to his.
People can abstain if they.
There's nobody legally conflicted. If you feel you're morally conflicted, you can abstain.
Well, she didn't quite say that. But the bottom line is each director... Yes, Director Villagos.
You know, we all have legal counsel, at least I do. And I can tell you, mine has advised us. Mine has advised me that I'm conflicted with.
You could distinguish between soft or hard... But the representation that this is about moral, that's not the issue. The issue is my legal counsel has advised me that I am conflicted here. Just going by your assessment, you know, it's not something I can do. Now, what you all should know, if I wasn't conflicted, I was the author of this motion. And I was the author of this motion, notwithstanding the fact that I have very real positions about a number of these projects. But So I guess I can't really speak to the motion because I'm conflicted, but and I'm conflicted. So
okay, why don't any other speakers
vote?
Okay, let's clear the voting machine and go for it. Item 73 as proposed. Okay, 7 yes, 1 no, 3 conflicted, 1 abstention. The item passes. Next item is special request for priority number 17 by Director Ridley Thomas.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The item before us is not one that should require much. I simply want to suggest that I think we are obliged to move forward with item 17 as it is recommended with the $3.2 million settlement. I simply would ask that we bifurcate and in so doing, consistent with the conversation with staff, have a 30-day review on the actual use. If that is acceptable, Mr. Chair, I would so move if we should hear from staff on it. Mr. Moliere, I think, can clarify any of the technical questions any of the board members may have.
Okay, that's a motion. Director Kanabe?
Yeah, just on clarification, your motion doesn't say 30 days. Your motion says 60.
30 would be sufficient.
I have a question.
Director Du Bois.
I want to make sure that the EIR and accompanying documents won't have to be done again, that it is covered whatever we may deem proper for this property.
Yes, absolutely. I think that our conversations were clearly that if in the context of an appropriate potential development, there shows to be at least a neutral situation in all respects, or God willing, a positive one, then we would look at a form of development that yet not holding up Expo. The reason that the 30 days was chosen, kindly amended by the supervisor, was that in consultation with our folks at Expo, they tell me that won't hold them up. We will schedule a meeting for next week, and we should be able to determine very, very quickly whether there are viable possibilities to improve the situation, and if they are not, we'll still be back where we were and not lose any time. So that's the idea.
Thank you.
Mr. Leahy.
And just on the flip side of that, should there be negatives, we would report on that as well, the pros and cons of whatever might be developed.
Good, thank you.
What's
you
doing? Chairman?
Erzlowski.
Yeah, I just, on the piggyback on Director Dubois' comments, on the EIR, the site in question, our site that we are acquiring, the EIR cleared 500 parking spaces, is that correct?
That's correct.
So whatever you would come back with or whatever your discussion would be within the parameters of what the EIR, the certified EIR, contains.
That would be an important factor, absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
Well, it would be a critical factor because if it's not, then it has to reopen the EIR.
That's correct.
In some fashion. Secondly, I wanted to ask, there's $10 million that the Expo Authority has earmarked for the construction of this garage, correct?
That's correct.
And I assume, but I want to hear it, I don't want to make that assumption, that in any discussions you have with anyone, and I hope it would be with more than one prospective partner, that none of that $10 million that's earmarked for the building of the garage at the subject site would be in play for that developer's development.
Yeah, well, actually, the proposal as it stands is from the one developer that we've heard from, is that a certain amount of money, and I think they mentioned $8 million, would be devoted to a lease with a $1 purchase at their site, and that they would then develop on our site the 500 spaces plus a development. So it would, in fact, at least in accordance with their proposal, some of that money would have to go for the interim spaces. How that would all work out has not been made clear yet, so that's what we wanted to look at. But I should tell you that
I understood that they were going to ask us to build it, and then they were going to lease those spaces back to us.
They were, yes, essentially they were going to build
it,
lease it to us with if all else failed, we would be able to buy those spaces was their proposal.
So we would build a parking garage for them at a separate site.
Essentially, that's correct.
And then they would give us the privilege of leasing back that property at our cost. So this could end up costing more than $10 million.
Well, it would be essentially, as they phrased it, it would be essentially a lease purchase. It would be $8 million, but we would be able to buy it at our option for a dollar at the end of the lease. So it would be an $8 million garage.
On a separate site.
On a separate site, that's correct. And so it's unclear whether what would happen on our site and how that monetarily would work out in conjunction with the $8 million there, whether we would buy that and send it back. So we do need at least some time to determine how all those numbers are, because it's very unclear at this point. So that's the reason.
The only thing that makes me nervous about this, two things, are these two things. One, that we have 500 sites for the public, for the riding public at that station, which is what we've invested this whole, what the EIR calls for. And secondly, that we not end up using these monies to subsidize somebody else's development. And I've had about three different iterations explained to me about what this developer has proposed. My staff has talked to him. I know others have talked to him. Try to get an understanding of what it is. And I've heard three different configurations of this, two of which involve our paying to build a garage, the paying to lease it back from him, and at a site that is inferior to the maybe walking distance from the station, but it's not at the station, and it's not in compliance with the EIR. So I just, with those parameters in mind, I don't have a problem looking at it, but I don't want, if you're going to come back with a proposal that takes money from this and reopens the EIR and has a station a half a block or a block away where we could have had one right at the station and all that stuff, I think this is something we need to be very sensitive about because of the, this is a train, no pun intended, that has more or less left the station. And a considerable amount of investment.
Sorry, is picture of what they're going to do.
This, and we do not want to reopen the EIR.
I understand.
The Expo people would not want to have to go through that.
Mr. Chair.
Inspector Ridley Thomas.
I would simply say the land use implications are very important, and that's in part what's driving this. The amendment in no way would properly be interpreted as a renegotiation or reopening of the EIR. Let's just stipulate that that is a set. The language of the motion, that is to say the amendment, is rather explicit. Qualitative and fiscal benefits to Metro. The thrust, directors, is essentially to find out if, in fact, within 30 days, we can't do better than what is currently before us. There is an assumption that I think we are obliged to evaluate in light of the agencies or the authorities' fiscal health or the lack thereof to gain opportunities that would be more positive from a revenue perspective than not. If such can't be achieved, then nothing is really lost. That's why we moved it from 60 to 30 so that things can keep moving. But I think we would be well advised to exhaust due diligence scenarios in this instance. And with that in mind, I would respectfully ask for an aye vote of the amendment as it is before you.
Well, thank you. I have one request to speak from Mr. Walsh, and then any direct waving. Any other requests from the directors? We have a motion. Was it seconded? Seconded by one of the supervisors. Is there any objection to this?
Yeah, identify.
If there's no objection, then this will be passed.
Thank you.
One of the 11 unidentifiable.
Well, I didn't want to get in between you guys.
Does that include item 17 itself? Did we approve that?
We had the motion. We had the amendment. Good point of order, Director Yozofsky. The amendment approved. Now on item 17, as stated. Any objections to that? Okay. Item 17 is approved as well, as amended. Okay, let's move on to the Metrolink item, item 15.
Preferably purple.
Mr. Chair, just in the interest of time, what this is a lease of some office space to Metrolink. Over a 10-year period, the authority would earn around $8 million in revenue profit. In addition to that, we would save Metrolink some money that would reduce and lower MTA costs during that time period. We can do the presentation if you like, but I know time is late.
I don't. Does anyone really need
the recommendation?
Okay. Second. Motion. Second. Any discussion? Any cards?
Without objection.
Okay. Without objection, then this item is passed.
Sorry.
Next item. We're going to go to item 66. Mr. Raymond.
Good morning, Matt Raymond, Chief Communications Officer. Just for the sake of time, this is primarily an opportunity for us to increase our revenue. We currently have 228 billboards on Metro property, generates through ground leases about $1.3 million annually. What this contract is to do is to award a five-year revenue-generating contract to All Vision, and we would share in any revenues that are increased through this partnership. Basically, what they would do is serve as our agent out in the billboard community and try to increase our revenues, and we would share any increases in that. And I have Warren Morris and Velma Marshall. If the board would like more information or a report, they're here for you or to answer any questions.
Second.
Director Katz?
A couple questions, Matt. One is, what should we do? I'm concerned, how aggressive is this company? How much bang are we getting for a buck? It seems to me, I like the numbers, but they seem way low considering the properties we've got. And I'm just concerned that these guys aren't aggressive enough, number one. Number two, it's a two-year contract with options at our discretion.
Yes.
But they require a board action to be extended?
No, I don't believe so, no. Typically, it's a five-year contract, and staff would renew it.
I'd like to see this come back, just simply because I'm not convinced that we're getting as much money out of this deal as we should. The second question I have is this: does this also apply to within the subway, for instance, and other areas where we could put advertising?
No, actually, we have multiple contracts, and CBS Outdoor actually has our contract for station advertising. What this involves are the billboards that are currently on our property, and we have, I think it's 228, so on all of our right-of-ways and things that we have.
So this is lease revenue from those billboards?
Right, and what this contract is for is actually, to answer your question, the reason why we want to bring in All Vision is we're really not in the business of aggressively managing our billboards, and this is a shared revenue proposal, and we had four different proposals. This was by far the best one. And to answer your question, most aggressive. So,
thank you. I have two requests to speak: John Walsh and Arnold Sachs.
This is a great deal for MTA. A partnership. Obviously, we support it. HollywoodHighlands.org. Only one thing. Could All Vision throw in one or two billboards with Angeline on it? Because we always think that Angeline looks great. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Arnold Sachs. I'm referring to your summary of fiscal year 2011 business planning parameters. Items 9 and 10 include bus advertising revenue and rail advertising revenue. Line item 11 includes total advertising revenue. Doesn't include anything about the $1.2 million mentioned for the billboards. It just includes bus advertising revenue and rail advertising revenue. That being said, your bus advertising revenue is going to go up from the fiscal year 10 forecasted budget to the fiscal year 11 assumptions. It's going to go up by over $2 million, yet you're going to cut your revenue hours by 145,000. Your light rail revenue service hours are going to increase by 80,000 hours from 424 to 503, yet the rail advertising revenue is going to maintain the same numbers. I listened to the city council get hammered on advertising with AEG, the LA Live concept. Same crap is happening with Metro. Who's in charge here?
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Mr. Walsh, was that a pass or? How did I miss it? I've been at a different volume level than I'm expected. Okay, if there's no other discussion, item 66, conflicts noted. Any objections? Seeing no objections, the items passes, noting the conflicts.
Thank you.
There's seven. We have enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Request for priority on item 72 by Director Yavzovsky.
I'm going to have to check and see why I'm not getting donations.
Item 72. Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, because it requires 9 votes, and we might be losing folks.
Right. We don't need the report. We had it last week.
We had the report last week. Okay, last month. Dr. Clyde Williams, Arnold Sachs, and John Walsh.
I waive.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Dr. Clyde Williams. And Arnold Sachs.
Dr. Clyde Williams, 4115 Burr Road, El Sereno. Eminent domain, acquisitions. This is going to become a problem because is MTA going to be taking on the Caltrans properties in El Sereno? We've heard rumors of that. This is an interesting element. It's all part of the 710 package. So we're quite concerned regarding any resolution of necessity for acquisition of properties because Caltrans has had those properties for 30 years. So we're also concerned about, for these particular properties, will the interests or the codes of Los Angeles and other municipalities be enforced upon properties that are acquired by MTA? So there's some questions. Thank you.
Mr. Sachs?
Again, thank you. Arnold Sachs. Join Supervisor Molina in her discussion when we had this item in committee regarding the hanky panky on the expo line and the fact that you have phase one section A, phase one section B, and the results of how they pulled money from the Washington aerial station into phase one, and now you have a station no longer at Washington Boulevard and La Cienega, but at Venice and Robertson, and the change in the concept of the rail line. But I'm just curious, is this refer to phase one of the expo line section A or phase one of the expo line section B? Because they're totally different, and we see how those things get manipulated by the governing bodies.
Thank you.
Oh, way on.
No other public comment card, and we have a motion. Is there a second? Okay. Any objections to this item? Abstention noted by Director Ridley Thomas. All other directors indicating affirmative. Is that enough to pass it?
Why don't you just make it official? Open the roll.
Okay. Let's open the machine. So there's no question. We're voting on item 72.
You're voting for it? What's it? Yeah, voting for it.
You're indicated as an abstention. Okay, that item passes. Let's go to item 70. Please record the 10th yes vote for Director Huza. Item 70. Then we're going to do 42, then we're going to move to closed session, folks. So 16 will be coming. We're coming back. We're coming back.
Move to oppose this proposal as recommended.
Is there a second? This is 70.
Oppose the governor's proposal.
The governor's state budget proposal.
Move the recommendation.
It's a recommendation.
Move to approve the motion opposing
the recommendation.
The governor's.
Oppose.
Is there a second? Is there a speaker? Oh, okay. Elisa Almeida,
on
Dr. Clyde
page.
Williams. Williams.
Ah, yes. Actually, it does have to do with the 710. Welcome to the governor's realm. Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno, Northeast L.A. Just amend it so that you can have any opposition to the exemption of certified EIRs from judicial review, because we understand that it's going to be fast-tracked, that the governor wants to have exemption from judicial review of any certified EIR. This is public participation. Thank you. So it does, in fact, have inclusion of 710 in this. Oppose the governor's decision recommendations to exempt all certified EIRs from any judicial review. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Almeida.
She's not here.
She is not here. Okay. Therefore, we have a motion. We have a second. Did we not?
Yeah.
Is there any discussion from the board? Are we all unanimous?
Can you tell me what the motion is?
This is... The governor came out with his state budget.
They call our money.
And the motion is to...
We
don't like his budget. Okay. Okay, that's unanimous. Next item is item 42. After 42, we're hitting closed session.
Second.
Cards. Director Antonovich. No cards, Madam Clerk? Okay. I don't see any cards. We have a motion and a second. No further discussion from the board members? Any objections? Okay, this item 42 passes unanimously. We are going to recess to closed session. Take care of this business that's critical for our agency because we've been delaying it for several months to accommodate public speakers. We will return and we will finish every single agenda item and give you all a chance to address the board. That we have lost our quorum. Yeah. We have lost a quorum. We're only down to six members. We are going to hold a special meeting Monday. At what time do we?
8:30.
At 8:30, where we're going to address the balance of the items in today's agenda that we were not able to address, and we can certainly do that. So, we don't have a quorum. We're not officially in session. However, anyone who would like to come forward and direct one of their, use one of their speaker cards on any of the items, I certainly would encourage you to do so. Or you can wait until Monday when the full board convenes in our special meeting. I'm sorry? Was there any reportable action? Okay.
So I had to go eat in that cafeteria over there just to wait for this meeting, and then you're going to have nothing happen with this meeting.
Will the speaker cards be kept to Monday?
Okay, what we're going to do is hopefully make you all happy. Is we are going to have an appointment, special temporary appointment.
just for the balance of today's meeting, Mayor Villaraigosa will hereby be appointing Borja. What's your last name, Borja? Borja Leone. And that Leon, Borja Leon. That will give us seven. It's appointing him to sit in.
City Hall. City Hall.
It's better if we go through this. Okay, so we're back. We're back from closed session.
You have to file a lobbyist report. You can't vote if you're not.
You need a statement of economic interest.
You have to be Dianne Feinstein to vote.
You can do it, but she has no statement of economic interest.
I think staff, I believe he has submitted one.
He already has submitted one.
He has submitted one. Any other objections?
I want a copy for the public.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Now, we're returning from closed session. Do we have anything to report out, Mr. Safer? Any action?
Yes. The MTA board met in closed session and took the following reportable action. In the case of Spires and Spires versus MTA, case number BC-393417, the board approved a settlement in the amount of $1 million. The second item was Hakopian versus MTA, case number SC-104170. The board approved the settlement in the sum of $3.5 million. The board took no further reportable action. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Okay, we're going
to
go...
Right,
I've got a list of what remains. We had pulled 16 off the consent calendar. I think now's the appropriate time to take that. Item 16.
Do you want a presentation or do you just want to vote on it?
We have. I've got your cards right here. So we're going to handle the comment cards. Are there any questions? Would any members of the board like a report on item 16? Would you like
to? Well, yeah, this is a series of assumptions which would lead us in guiding the initial preparation phase of the budget. Obviously, the assumptions can be modified as time goes on, as we have more dialogue with the board in February, when we begin to talk about what the budget looks like and what the possible actions to remedy might be. So I would just suggest to you that this is amendable, and in the interest of time and keeping a quorum, if you want to just vote on it, that would be okay. It was on consent initially. We'll certainly be having very detailed dialogue with you in the coming months, so today is not the drop-dead day.
Okay, I have some speakers. John Walsh, Cesar Chavez, Rosa Miranda, and Esperanza Martinez.
Point of order, I see six names up there. Oh, Leon, I want a copy of her, dated copy of her statement of economic interest. I want to know, has she filed it with the state yet?
Hey, first of all, it's a gentleman.
And there is a reporter here, incidentally.
First of all, it's a gentleman, not a woman, has already filed statements of economic interest and will provide copies to the board.
Today? Okay, you don't have to answer, but there is a reporter here from the Daily News.
Happy to talk to him.
The public cannot get a copy of this, and we have no idea when it was filed with the state. Okay, fine. I'm telling you right now that you just can't make the rules as you go along. And here on item 16, we're talking about the amount of money in Proposition R due to the current downturn projected over 50 years trims about $5 billion from your money. I don't need a minute. I can do it in 57.
Esperanza Martinez?
Yes, lead organizer with the Bus Riders Union. So the move that by this board to attempt to accelerate a 30-year capital plan in 10 years by raising fares and cutting bus service and eroding the gains of the consent decree will lead to massive violations of the 1964 Civil Rights Act and California Code 11135. We ask this board to tread cautiously and conduct a thorough equity impacts analysis. For 1 year, bus riders have been asking for a bus improvement plan and have gotten nothing. But what we did get was a 30-year plan that says fare increases every other year and cuts. Let's look at your own history. 2003, you voted to raise fares from $42 to $52. You opened the Pasadena Gold Line. In 2005, you cut 70,000 hours in the region to run the Orange Line. In 2007, you raised fares as you prepared to open the Eastside Gold Line. Now you're proposing to cut 145,000 hours of service. Meanwhile, Expo will get 50,000 hours. So to be clear, what you have is a construction deficit that you force bus riders to pay for. This is why your ferocious drive to construct violates equal protection under the law and is discriminatory against bus riders.
Thank you. Rosa Miranda or Cesar Chavez?
Rosa Miranda had to go pick up her children from school, so we're going to have Carla read her statement, if that's okay.
I will let it go today.
Good afternoon. My name is Carla Maria Aguilar, and I'm the member of a BRU. I ask that you open a public process to hear from the people, those who would be most impacted by the proposal to raise fares and reduce 150,000 hours of service. You say that you have the biggest deficit in history. You say that this is due to the recession and lack of state funds. And you say that everyone has to take the hit. We remember that almost 50% of the state operating funds that you asked for were for rail. But I find it odd that the only place where you cut service is in the bus system. You say that there is no other option than to raise fares and cut bus service. You say you have no other option. Well, actually, you have three. You should be able to preserve and maintain the infrastructure of the bus service and protect the civil rights of its passengers. You can join us in Washington and Sacramento to fight for the more operating funds. You can decide to build the subway to the. You can decide not to build the subway to the sea and the extension of the Gold Line. Don't take the easy route. Create a public hearing process for the proposal for the July fare increase. Thank you.
Thank you. I have no other public speakers. Are you Mr. Chavez?
No.
Okay, sorry. I have the last speaker, Mr. Chavez.
Hello, members. My name is Cesar Chavez. I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union and a student at Santa Monica College. You cannot treat the 2010 fare increase as a given. We ask that this board open up a process for the public hearing. It seems very convenient for everything to be blamed on the economic crisis. MTA staff states that ridership has declined by 8% last year because of recession and proposes to raise increases as a solution. Since the moment the content degree was not extended in 2006, this agency has slashed about one-third of the bus service and added under the degree. In 2007, you raised fares, forcing people to make hard choices between transit and basic necessities, resulting in a decline in ridership you still have not recovered from. Meanwhile, there is an aggressive move on this board to continue to build rail and highway on the backs of Black, Latino, working class bus riders who make an average of $12,000 a year by proposing a series of fare increases, shamefully backed by the LA Times. We ask that this board to create a public process that includes a public hearing on the proposed 2010 fare increase. Thank you.
Thank you. That is the last card for public comment on this item. Is there a motion?
Who would receive the report?
No, it's approved.
Any objections? None. The matter passes unanimously. Let's move to item 29. Does anyone like a report on this?
I'll move this item. Move approval.
Mr. Chair, I would like to say that this is the first action of this sort. There may be others to keep projects moving. So it's a good it's a good item that we're requesting of you, but it reflects the current status.
Okay. Any other comments by board members? Are there any objections to this item? Okay. This item also passes.
Okay. Go build it.
Mr. Cass, did you make your motion on those two or three items?
I'd like to move to approve the following items, 38, 40, 41, and 42. They were items that would have been on the CMAQ agenda last week, but the meeting was canceled, and they would have come out of there with a recommendation on the consent side. But they're before us all now. And I ask for an aye vote. We can take them individually or all together, just whatever the chair's pleasure.
Okay, I'd like to... Yes. Yes, 42 is already approved. What remains is 40, 41...
Right.
I'll second the motion on those.
Any speaker cards on this? So it's 38, 40, 41.
Thanks, Kimberly.
None. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any objections? These three items are passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
71. I have a note. Who wrote me this note? On 71. Requesting it to be continued for a board report.
someone who recalls making a... Did someone request a continuance to next month so we could have a board report?
Yes, I did.
I had a note on my thing.
Yes, thank you.
There is no board report. Are there any objections to continuing it to next month? No time issues. If there's no objections to 71 to next month's meeting, so we can have a better chance to discuss it with a board report.
Thank you.
Thank you. That will be the order. I'm sorry. Till March. Is March okay?
Yes.
March okay? Okay. Till March. I think we covered it. Okay, I'd like to recognize Director Robinson.
Yes. At the appropriate time, I just wanted to introduce the motion on behalf of...
This will be a good time.
Okay. I think you have in front of you the motion by Director Reeser, which would be referred to committee. His request was that we develop, that Metro take the lead in a EIR process with regard to L.A. streetscape money or L.A. streetcar money that is being approved in Washington, and he wanted to be able to have the Metro staff be the lead in the EIR instead of the CRA. The funds would be, CRA would totally reimburse Metro for their operation of this. Metro staff has agreed to participate, and the board authorized the CEO to execute this agreement. I think you may have the motion available to put on screen. But it's in order to be able to secure the grant application for Urban Circulator Streetcar Program.
I'll second for discussion.
Mr. Fasano.
Can we act on this at this meeting, or is this just to introduce a brief?
No, it was just to introduce the motion to be referred to committee.
Okay. Thank you. We will refer to what committee handles that. Direct that to the appropriate committees.
Thank you very much.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I said earlier about having other items on Monday, forget that. What we're going to have is a closed session only on Monday to deal with some carryover items from today's closed session. So closed session only. Of course, you're always entitled to address the board prior, but there won't be any public action items that will be taken.
Cards had been submitted on 29, 40, and 41, but... I don't know where they went.
Do you still wish to speak?
Why now? Forget it.
That's Dr. Clyde Williams. Arnold Sachs? Is gone? Okay. He's gone. Okay, that concludes our business. Is there a motion to adjourn? We are adjourned.